Well, good morning to all you brave souls that have come out this morning. Praise God.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Not a problem. So, do we have any announcements this morning aside from official board Tuesday night? Yes, annual meeting and potluck dinner. Yes. Yep. Assuming we don't have a big storm or something, yeah.
No, that's true.
Any other announcements? Okay, let's take a moment to prepare our hearts to worship. Father, we thank you for your grace and blessings, and thank you that you are here with us. Thank you for helping us to get through with the stormy weather we had and the first snow of the year. It looks beautiful, but we're not always crazy about having it, mainly to drive in. But it is beautiful, Lord, and it's part of your creation. So we thank you for it. Thank you for people that are here this morning. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being you. Lord, where would we be without you? Thank you for all that you do for us. Just be with us now as we continue our worship service, for indeed we are here to worship you, Lord, and to honor you, and that we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first hymn, 425, In the Garden. Okay, 363. Okay, will the ushers please come forward to receive our tithes and offerings? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of your children who bring to you, Lord, a portion of what you have given us. For we thank you, Lord. We are so grateful for all that you do. May you bless these gifts and the givers to build up your kingdom, Lord, to spread the gospel, to do the work of the kingdom. Thank you for it all, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Takes a little while to get organized. That's okay. I'd like to share with you a devotional that actually it was January 1st in the upper room, and I even wrote the date on it, today's date, way back then. Usually I wait for the Lord to see, and I thought, now that one's going to be it, and sure enough. Anyway, the scripture is from Genesis 1:3, and it's God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The writer of this devotional says that she felt extremely grateful at the New Year's Eve service in 2021. It indeed felt like a new beginning, a new hope against the odds of the past year. Yet, after the service, I was in tears as I thought of all the things I didn't have. I wanted so much for that new year, but I didn't know how or where to start. I felt hopeless. That night, I decided to pray again. I didn't ask for anything. Instead, inspired by 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I gave thanks for all that I had, and I felt blessed by everything on my list. After this prayer of gratitude, I had Genesis 1:3 in my heart and a new understanding of the verse. In Genesis 1:1 and 2, it was the beginning, and it looked hopeless. In that bleak situation, God spoke light. With that light came hope. And God kept speaking, forming sky, seas, and land. What God wanted for the future, day after day, God spoke into being. Until it was all good, God spoke. As believers, when faced with a hopeless situation, and we'll face them all at some point, the first thing we can do is invite the light into the situation. We can speak, "Thank you, Jesus. He is the light of the world." With Christ's light comes hope. My resolution this year is to speak light through all my days. And I think that's something that I'm going to take as a resolution myself. So, do we have any prayers, concerns, praises? And Joe already spoke of it, and I know most people, we don't like the snow because of the cold and the bundling up and the getting out. But I'm from snow country, so I'm used to snow. And to see that blanket of white over everything is just so beautiful. So I always thank the Lord for that.
I have a great joy. I have been working on washing toys that I got from Goodwill, and they were in really good condition, but I just wanted to be sure they were okay. I can't tell you how many cars and vehicles and so on and so forth that I got. I am so thrilled. Some of them are big, so they will take up a lot of room in the shoeboxes. But all those big plush that we have up there, I've been packing those 3 boxes every week, and you will not believe how much I can get in there. So they're not going to waste, and we're not going to donate. We're going to pack them all. I will. So I'm just really excited about that. We also should keep Mary Abrams in our prayers, and Chris and Tom's Dudley, and definitely Joyce and Howie and the whole family.
Quiet. Quiet bunch today. Aunt Marge is doing good. She's trying to do things. She thinks she put something someplace, and it's, I go to look for her and it's not there. I says, "No, it's not there." Oh. I don't think they put blankets in refrigerators. She's doing good. The only little worried about her legs, swelling up. She had a hard spot on her leg, she said, and it hurt. But then it seemed to go down, she said. So I don't know. Well, yeah. She don't want to go back in the hospital, so.
So she won't tell you.
Sometimes. So, but otherwise, she's doing quite well. Nothing else. Everybody done? Okay.
Just so you know, Russ will not be here until after he has his procedure. He still is filling up with fluid, and they have to drain it. So I think what they're doing is putting a valve and drain in, so they can do it at home rather than him going to the hospital.
Oh, yes.
And also, let's keep Gordy in prayer, too. I spoke with him several weeks ago. It's probably time again to get in touch with him. But I'm sure he'd like to hear from other people as well.
And would there be anybody?
Yes. She's, the past two Sundays, she's had company, relatives. And I talked with her yesterday, and she said, I'm not coming up, Mom. So she's doing okay.
Yes, I spent extra time there before I got up to say my hymns, sing so that I could write down the celebrations, and I almost forgot the celebrations. Tuesday, Dale and Donna's anniversary. Happy anniversary. And you had a belated... Yes, there you go. You're bringing something? Oh, no.
Donuts.
How about donut holes? And I guess Tom Studley's birthday was on the 1st. We missed his, or I missed it, or something. I'd just like to give you an update on Joyce also. I know Joe and Mary were there this week, and I was also. Oh, you didn't? Oh, this is from the time before. Okay. It is a joy to go visit her. So I would encourage anybody to go see her. Well, I put it off for several reasons. First, when she was so sick, and then we had so many things going in her life, and then I had COVID, and then so finally I went, and it was a pleasure. It really was. And my biggest thing is, I believe it or not, I'm not a person to go out and do things on my own. So I'd been Clifton Springs a lot years past, and I wasn't quite sure about getting there, and then trying to find her, and this is all, okay, Candy, you can do this. And I did. So, but she does, I think she's, as most people in nursing homes or in nursing homes for physical therapy or assisted living or anything, they feel lonely. And I know there's lots of people around, but I think the issue is they're lonely for family. Now, this church is a family to each other. And she was just so pleased when I came there. And when I left, she says, you'll be back, won't you? I said, oh, yes, I will. So, but she is. She's doing very well. And I think she still gets frustrated, but as everyone keeps reminding her, she's come a long way. And she really doesn't know how far she's come because she doesn't remember the accident. They haven't told her much other than she knows she's been in an accident. And I guess they still haven't told her that Howie will be starting radiation. And that wasn't clear when that might start up, and I didn't dare ask because...
And to my understanding, they don't want her to know.
Correct.
So don't say
anything. Yeah, so you have to be careful. You sort of have to take your cue from anybody who's there. So, and with that, will you please join me in prayer? Father, as we've shared here, we are so thankful for all that you do in our lives. And if we would just sit and take a moment, and actually it takes a whole lot more than a moment when we start listing all our blessings, all that you do for us. I have one little blurb that Donna had sent out in the celebrations that we can just start by thanking the Lord for this day, the day that you've given us. And we do thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you we can go to you anytime, anywhere. We do not have to have this long, prolonged prayer. All we have to do is say your name, Jesus. Or just call out, help. We don't have to give complicated reasons to talk to you. You already know. But it helps so much to reach over to you, reach out to you. Help us to remember to do that during good times, during trying times, during devastating times. You want to hear from us. You want us to reach out to you. Father, help us to be aware of that and to know that it brings you great joy whenever we do. We thank you for all that you've done in the Clark family, especially for Joyce, but also for the rest of the family. We've seen them circle around her and just protect and take care of her. We thank you for the long recovery that she has accomplished. But we continue to hold her up because she is still frustrated. She would like to be home. We hold up Howie as he tries to be there as much as he can, and he does. But yet he's going to be now going through radiation, which can be very draining. And we ask that you surround them with your peace. Help them feel your presence each step of the way. We thank you that Mary has found another source for toys, Goodwill toys that are in good condition. And we thank you for the joy that can come just in preparing these toys, cleaning them up, fixing them up, and then packing them in the box and knowing that some child is going to be just overjoyed at this small effort that we make. But yet it's your love that is in the effort, it's your love that's in the box, and it's your love that surrounds this child and their family and their community. And we are so thankful for this opportunity. We continue to hold in prayer Mary Abrams as she continues to adjust and is doing well in her assisted living. We continue to hold Chris and Tom, who have so many health issues, but help them feel your peace this day, this moment. And we ask a special watch care over Russ as he wants to be here in the worst way, but yet he needs to be home until his procedure sometime this month. Guide the doctors and let this procedure help him to be able to get out and about again and to worship with us. And we ask that you continue to be with Gordy and Russ as they both lost spouses this year. And we all know the loss of loved ones is so very difficult. Fill them with your peace and your support. And we thank you for the weekly updates with Marge. She is such a precious soul. We thank you for Dale's continued care of his aunt. And speaking of Dale, after last Sunday, Father, we are so thankful that Dale and Donna are here with us. And whenever someone is not here, we feel that they leave a big hole. And Dale and Donna, they do so much for this church and for each one of us that when they're not here, we miss them dearly. And it's the same for any other members in this church and visitors. Father, you have worked miracles in this church. You keep the doors open. You give each member a loving heart and a giving heart. And we are so thankful. We ask that you help us to be grateful in all situations. Show us how to speak light and goodness into our lives and those of the lives around us. For we offer these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
couple of things. In keeping with Candy's devotional, let there be light. And there was.
It was good.
It is good. If I can find this. There we go. Still pretty, even though it's January. Remember, Christmas is coming. Yeah, it'll be here before you know it. And one other thing, too, before we proceed. I mentioned about Russ. He basically, he has a few family members that, kind of drop in and everything. But like Joyce, he's lonely. And he would very much appreciate hearing from people. So if you feel prompted by the Lord, please give him a call. He does answer the phone. He speaks. Sometimes he has a little trouble hearing, depending on whether he's got his hearing aid in and stuff like that. But you can carry on a conversation with him just like you do here at church. And I'm sure he'd like to hear, even if it's only just a couple of minutes. Okay, having said that, would the deacons please come forward to receive our communion offering? Thank you. Thank you for your people. Thank you for their giving. And pray your blessings upon both in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a little different. Then we got a communion hymn this morning. 3-2-4. And then we'll serve communion. Thank you. ignoring that.
Yeah, we ignore the three, four
notes. Yeah. To fold it up too much. Voila, there was bread. I still remember that time. Yes, fondly. Oh, praise God. Lord, we thank you that you have come, you have died, you have been raised up, and are now sitting on your throne. And it's all because you love us, and it was to save us. We thank you so much for that. And we do now as you did 2,000 years ago, where you took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We shall do that. Mary? As Jesus and his disciples did back then, let us also take and eat. Likewise, he took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. My blood shed for many, for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And I think it's sooner than many people expect. So, come Lord Jesus. And now, let us also partake. To Jesus and all that he has done for us, in remembrance of him, let us take and drink. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful gift, a gift that lasts a lifetime, and that lifetime will be through eternity. What a blessing, what a gift, what love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to come and endure all that you did for us. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Here, don't we? Well, I guess you can tell I want to talk about prayer today. The Bible has a lot to say about prayer. And I'll start off with the first scripture. And this is true, but sometimes it's hard for us to take, I guess. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The thing here is, Scripture is telling us we don't know what to pray for as we should. We should know, but we don't. We're children of God. It'd be great for us to know what to pray for, how to pray, but we don't. The disciples back then didn't know either, because they said, Lord, teach us how to pray, because they saw him always go away to some secluded place and spend time with the Father in prayer. But he was by himself, so they didn't know what he was praying, but they knew that he knew how to pray. And they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's where we got the Lord's Prayer from. But then, that is just a guide, so to speak. It's not meant to be a ritual, but it's meant to be a guide in how to pray. And I'm not going to go into the individual verses and everything, because that would be maybe for another time. But the thing is, we don't know how to pray. But even so, we have other scriptures. Even so, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Even though we don't know how to do it, we're told by Scripture, do it. Just do it anyway, even though you don't know. Hopefully, we'll learn along the way. Then the last scripture, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What is the will of God for us? To always rejoice. Have joy. I talked about this during Advent. We should always have joy in our hearts, but also to pray without ceasing. And in doing that, in all of our circumstances, give thanks unto God because of who he is and because his help is available. Because of so many other things. We don't have to give thanks for the difficult circumstance or the trouble that we may find ourselves in, but give thanks to God in those things, because he is going to get us through them. But the point is, pray without ceasing, even though you don't know how to do it. Pray without ceasing. There are many times when I go to God in prayer, and I do my devotions and spend time with him every morning. I don't know what to pray for either. I say, Lord, help me. I don't know. Who do you want me to pray for? What situation? We all have our own little prayer list. We all have people on our hearts and minds that we want to lift up. That gets to be very repetitive. It's almost like, you know, it almost like becomes a ritual. You just pray for the same people over and over again. When do we start believing for the things that we're praying for? When do we say, I've prayed about this situation, I've given it to you, Lord, now it's in your hands, and I believe that you're going to take care of it, and then go on to something else? But time and time again, we just pray for the same things over and over and over again. It's almost like we don't believe, and we have to nag God or constantly remind him of these things when he knows everything. The point is, we need to start believing that he's going to do things, especially the things that we ask him for. But what I want to do is talk a little bit. I don't have any more scriptures to go over, but what I want to do is talk about some of the things that prayer is for and some of the things that prayer is not for. And what I want to start out with first is, what are the things that prayer is for? And this is in no particular order. Coming into the presence of God to fellowship with him. That's one of the purposes of prayer. just to come be with him. Don't you like to be with people that you enjoy being with, that you like? Family, friends, certain co-workers. You enjoy being with them, right? Maybe growing up you had a best friend that you enjoyed being with. You like being with certain people. We like being with each other. We're family. God likes that too. He likes to be with his people, with his children. He likes to spend time with us. He's a relationship type of God. That's one of the reasons why he created us in the first place, to have a relationship with us. If you want to think of it as God felt lonely, I don't know, maybe. He's got such a capacity to love and such a big heart that he can love billions and billions of people at the same time. Loving them like nobody else could. But he enjoys our presence and spending time with us. All too many times we don't sense his presence, but we need to realize that he's with us regardless. And sometimes all we need to do is just sit quietly and spend time with him and listen if he speaks to us. One of the other things that prayer is for is to offer thanksgiving and praise to him, just like the last scripture said. Giving thanks. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything certainly means in our prayers. Giving thanks to him. Having a grateful heart. Thanking him for just being alive. Thanking him for all the things that he has done in the past. Thanking him for the things that he's going to do for you in the future. Thanking him that he loves you so much. I mean, there are so many things. You can have such an enormous list of all the things to thank him for and to praise him. You know, we do that on a human level, don't we? Somebody does something good or great or something that we appreciate, we give them praise. Right? We give people awards. All sorts of things like that. Out of all the possibilities of the people and whatever that we could give praise to, God is certainly the one who deserves it the most. So it's always good to praise him. He deserves it. Another thing that prayer is for, expressing honestly to God what is in your heart. Lord, these are my desires. Lord, this is the way I feel today. Or I'm angry. God can handle it if you're angry at him. Be honest with him. That's one of the things that prayer is for. To be honest with God. Maybe about some of the things you've done. Maybe some of the feelings that you have, good or bad. Sometimes the thoughts that pop into your head. The desires that are in your heart, good and bad. God knows it all anyway. But he wants us to be honest with him. That's one of the things I learned a long time ago. And you can be honest with him because, like I said, he knows it all anyway. But when you are honest with God and open up your heart to him, he can change things. He can change you. He could change the way you feel, the way you do things. So important just to be honest with him and to express yourself, what truly is in your heart. Another thing that prayer is for affirming your faith and trust in him. God is faithful. And it's good for us to state that, say, Lord, I trust you. I believe in you. It's hard sometimes. People let us down. God never will. one of my favorite scriptures is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Tell Him. Come to that place where you can actually confess your trust in Him. He has demonstrated His faithfulness over and over, certainly to us as a church, and I'm sure to each one of us individually over the course of our lifetime. He has never let us down. We may not always like the answers we get. We may not always like the length of time it takes to get some of those answers. But yet they come. He is faithful. He is worthy of us putting our faith and trust in Him. And that's one of the things prayer is for, to express that. Another thing that prayer is for is seeking His will and making requests in accordance with it. Part of the Lord's Prayer is, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, what is your will? That's one of the questions we should be asking in our prayers. Lord, what do you have for me today? What is your will? Well, what is your will in this situation that's affecting me or my family or someone I know or the church? What is your will? When you know what God's will is, you can then put that into a prayer. I don't know why He works that way, but that's the way He designed things to be. He wants us to be in cooperation with Him. He wants to be able to use us to express Himself or His will. But if we don't know what it is, I mean, it's kind of hard to expect the right things to happen. We need to understand what His will is and pray accordingly. That's when you really get your prayers answered. And you pray out His will. That's another thing that prayer is for. By faith, speaking His will into existence, moving mountains, so to speak. That's what Jesus said. If you have faith, you can move mountains. And if you know what His will is, then you can have the faith to move those mountains. Because His will be accomplished, whether by you or somebody else. And if God wants to use you, better you than somebody else that He goes to as a second choice or third choice or whatever, He's looking for people that will pray out His will by faith and make the impossible happen. That's what He's looking for. So if you sense in your heart what God's will is, by faith you can pray that out and things will happen. Miracles will happen. Another thing that prayer is for is for seeking guidance, wisdom, and help in time of need. Lord, I'm in a situation, I don't know what to do, help me. I need wisdom. Or I know what needs to be done, but I can't do it. I don't have the ability, or I don't have the resources, or whatever. Lord, please help me. Or help us as a church. We're always in need in one way or another. James says, if you have wisdom, ask God. It gives to all liberally, without reproach. God wants to give us wisdom, but we need to ask for it. James also says, ask without doubting. In other words, kind of going back and forth. Yeah, He'll give it to me. Oh, I don't know, maybe not, you know. It's kind of a wishy-washy thing. No, you got to be definite. God's word says that if you ask for wisdom, He'll give it to you. One of the problems is that we want everything instantly. It may not come that way. But when you need it, when you really need it, He'll give it to you. Another thing prayer is for is interceding for others, including our enemies. There are a lot of people in the world that hate us and would do us harm if they could. They're tools of Satan, who wants to destroy God's children, just as he tried to destroy the Israelites, tried to destroy Jesus. But Jesus said we need to pray for our enemies. Yes, we need to intercede for those that are in need, like members of our own congregation, or perhaps family members, or co-workers, whatever. Anytime we know there's a need, we have the privilege of interceding for them. But there are also instances where we need to be praying for those who don't like us, who would do us harm. Maybe somebody has already done us harm. Maybe somebody has said bad things about us, or done something, stolen from us, who knows. We need to pray for those people. That's part of God's will for us. Another thing that prayer is for is confessing our sins and asking for forgiveness. It's part of the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive us as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. That's part of what prayer is. You get down before God, and if you sense the Holy Spirit convicting you of something, take it to God. Confess it. Ask for forgiveness. It's there immediately, if we're honest about it, but also for forgiving others. And then lastly, one of the things that prayer is for spiritual warfare. Satan hates us and attacks us every chance that we get. We need to realize or recognize the authority that God gives us to fend off the attacks of Satan. Ephesians 6 tells us about the armor of God. It says, take up the full armor of God. And the last thing that is mentioned is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have the ability, the privilege, to use the word of God to defend ourselves and even to attack the enemy in the spirit realm. But here again, we need to be not only in fellowship with God, but recognizing what his will is in a given situation. We can't just be throwing his word around willy-nilly. We need to understand what's really going on, and if it is an attack of Satan, we have been given the authority and the privilege to use his word to not only defend ourselves, but to break up the attacks of the enemy, to have them come to nothing. God will give you wisdom on how to do that. That's something that really is lacking in the Church of God, an understanding of how to use the Word of God against our spiritual enemies. And maybe sometime we'll talk more in depth about that. But those are basically the things that prayer is for. Maybe you can come up with something else. But what is prayer not for? And this is what sometimes trips us up, and we get frustrated because our prayers don't get answered. Maybe we're asking for the wrong things or doing something in the wrong way. One of the things prayer is not for is trying to manipulate God or change his will. God doesn't change. He may not like the way things are. You may not like the fact that he calls us to do certain things, or things work a certain way, or we have to wait for an answer. There are things about the ways of the kingdom that sometimes frustrate us. God is not going to change. We either have to play by the rules or suffer the consequences. And you can't barter with God. Lord, you give me this. I promise I'll be in church every Sunday. Or I'll do this, or I'll do that. How many people do that? God, you answer my prayer. Give me this, and I'll do that for you. You can't barter with God. That's trying to change his will. Because if he doesn't want you to have a certain thing or have a certain prayer answered, it's not going to happen. You can't bargain with him in that way. So that's one of the things that prayer is not for. Another thing is seeking your own will to satisfy personal desires. It's, Lord, thy will be done, not my will be done. We need to be careful there, that we're not looking for something that is opposed to God's will. We're not to seek our own personal desires. An example might be, Lord, I need a new car. Boy, I really want one of those luxury cars, Lord. Give me that one, please. Enable me to get one of those, you know. Nice BMW or a Lexus or something like that. When the prayer should be, Lord, you know I have this need. May you provide me with another vehicle. I don't care what it is, Lord. I want your will to be done because you know the perfect one for me. But that's just an example. It's not our will, it's his will. Another thing that prayer is not for is seeking revenge or the hurt of others. We're to pray for our enemies, not against them. There's a lot of things going on in the world that we don't like. There are terrorists all over the place. People committing crimes, stealing, robbing, killing, maiming. I mean, you name it, it's going on in the world. We're seeing more and more of it happen. It's like the world is falling apart. I think it's human nature that we want to see people punished for that, for the things that they do. And sometimes we really get angry. We see something on TV maybe. Or maybe we hear these stories about how those Palestinian terrorists treated the Israelite captives and how they murdered and all sorts of things. And sometimes the anger boils up within us and we want God to smite them like he did in the Old Testament. No, we're not to do that. We're not to seek revenge for anything. Because God himself said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. That's his responsibility. We're not to seek it. We're to seek the good of others, even our enemies. So as hard as it is, you can pray for those people. Pray that they see the truth. Pray that they hear the gospel and respond to it. Pray that their souls might be saved. So we're not to seek revenge. Another thing that prayer is not for is just appearing pious in front of other people. You read in Scripture in Jesus' day how a lot of the Pharisees and Sadducees used to just pray with all these flowery and lengthy prayers and everything because they wanted to be seen by everybody else and to appear pious. No, we're not to do that. Just pray what's in your heart. Simply, purely, let God hear what's in your heart. It's not to be seen by anybody else. Yes, we can pray as a congregation, we can pray in groups, but it's not to make ourselves stand out or lift ourselves up. It's truly to seek God's will and the blessings of others. And then lastly, prayer is not to be a legalistic or ritualistic thing. Just something that we have to do to check our box. I did it today. I've done my duty. I prayed. Prayer should be from the heart. Prayer should be truly seeking God and His presence, and not just going through the motions. You see a lot of rituals in other churches and denominations and groups and whatever. No, prayer is not supposed to be a ritual. That was one of the things that always concerned me about the Lord's Prayer. I'm not against it. I think it's fine as long as we understand the purpose of it. But if you get to say it routinely, just as a part of your service, it just becomes ritualistic. And really it's meant as a guide anyway. The Lord wants us to pray with our own words, not just repeating something, reciting something. There's enough of that out there. He wants us to speak to Him from the heart, using our own words. Yeah, we can say essentially what's in the Lord's Prayer. But He wants to hear from us, not just reciting something. It's not a ritual. It's not something legalistic like, okay, I've done it. It's over. Now I got the rest of the day for myself. So, a lot of things there. I've given you things that prayer is for and things that prayer is not for, and I hope that it resonates with you and that you think about prayer a little bit differently now, because there are a lot of different aspects to it. But God wants us to do it, even though He says that our spirit has to intercede for us because we don't know how to do it. But maybe as we better understand what it's for and what it's not for, and let it sink in, and continue to do it, but just speaking from the heart and seeking God from the heart, we'll learn a little bit more each day about how to do it better, about how to get our prayers answered. But the main thing is, spend that time with God. Spend that time in prayer. We all have a lot to learn about it. And God understands that. And He'll help us each step of the way. And open up our understanding more and more and more each time we do it. So, with that, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for being with us. Thank You, Lord, for helping us to understand a little bit more about You and about what prayer is all about. The most important thing, though, is that You want a relationship with us, and prayer is the way of making that happen. You desire us, Lord, to be in relationship with You. You want us to open up ourselves to You, to speak from our hearts, just as You do in Your Word. You speak from Your heart, and You share all the love and the compassion and the good things that are in it. Thank You for all of that, Lord. Help us to be more effective in our prayers. Help us to know Your will and to pray accordingly. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Okay, our last hymn. I think it's 433. as we prepare to depart this place, we look to you, Lord. May you make your face to shine down upon us. Fill us with your light and your love, your abounding grace. Put it in our hearts, Lord, to know you like never before. And open up our understanding, Lord, of your word and your ways. Bless your people, Father, for we know your love is so vast, so great, so deep. Help us, Lord, to experience that in a more profound way. We are your children, Lord. We praise your holy name. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Does anybody know what the two bottles of juice are for? Did anybody bring those for a particular purpose?
They came in last week.
Yeah, they came in last week, but we didn't notice them until late. Huh?